Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, does God's illustration of the two sticks actually indicate the validity of new gospels beyond the Old and New Testaments? That is a mouthful, but it also the answer should be a mouthful. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and insert in your bulletin for activities this coming week and next Sunday. There will be a congregational meeting in 2 weeks on Sunday, August 19th, directly following the morning worship service, and we encourage you to attend if you're able. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 34, verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Oh,
continue our worship with hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Stand now as we sing hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible.
Please remain standing. Father, you are the invisible, powerful God. Even though sometimes we cannot see you, and sometimes we feel far away from you because things happen to us, you are still there. And because you love us, you never let us down to the point that we cannot recover. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you control this entire world by your sovereign power. Thank you, Father, that one day in our life, when we have no idea of you, or we have some idea of you, you wake us up in your presence. Your love, your work for us became clear. And we became children of understanding who were not understanding you because of your mighty power. Lord, who are we to be called children of God? But we are, and we thank you. And now because of that, we worship you this morning in a spirit and in truth. And we pray that you cause us to rejoice in spite of anything that could happen to us. At least we have God, and we have his plan, and we have his guidance, and we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. I say it again. Lord, we meet some people in our church, and some of them are sick. We pray for our Loretta Forrest, Mary and Jerry West, Donald McDowell, Ann Pareto, my wife Raquel, Jose Bedodo's father, for the six people that came from Argentina to visit with us, and now they are with Daniel in Oregon after their visit in Southern California, and they're returning home with a big picture of America. And then Father, for Joby, who is sick, and Dana, who is recovering from her leg, Lord, bless these people according to their need. Our beautiful missionaries, Fred Lewis, Carol Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Roth, Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño, Martha Ferretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diana Avila, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Lord, today, Dante and Maruja Rabines are returning to Peru, to the Amazon River. And I have received notes from the medical association that they send material, medicine to our brother so that he can start the next trip into the Amazon River. We pray for his protection and his strength. And Lord, we pray for us that as we start a new book in the Bible and listen to the stories in the book of Esther, we may be able to say there is a God who controls everything, who manages everything, and who causes us to follow him. Praise be his name. Lord, thank you for the overwhelming support of the church. Thank you for the dedication of their life of these people and their resources so that we can go on and proclaim the gospel. Thank you for the ministry of and the tape and the radio and the internet and the CD. Perhaps we never will hear of someone who is listening and having blessed because of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the loving giving of your people here. So we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Holds the world together. God is in control.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 595. We will be reading Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king of Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zathar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meras, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. Which shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen had done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be recorded, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there rise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the knowledge that we have received from the Scriptures, that your rule is total and that you will, as you choose, and carry out all that you will, and no one can stay your hand or thwart your plans. We are comforted by the promise of your word, that all things work together for good to those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. We thank you for the gracious life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that has made this possible. We pray that we may always keep these truths before us as we live our daily lives. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We ask that you would continue to bless him and Mrs. Otero with good health and long life, that he may continue to expose the Scriptures. To those of us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, give us understanding that we may see your greatness and glory as the word is preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of I hope you keep the book of Esther in your hand open on that page 595 so that we can together do the analysis thereof. For many, this book is a puzzle, but it seems to be out of place in the Bible. I'm talking about the book of Esther. There is no mention of the name of God. There is no reference to the worship or to have faith. There is no prediction of the Messiah. There is no mention of heaven or hell. In other words, there is nothing religious about it, at least on the surface when you read it. It is a story found in a most unusual book of the Bible. It will keep your attention from the beginning to the very finish line. Strange and puzzling as it may seem to the casual observer, those who look beneath the surface, you will find treasures in this book never, never expected. And so we are off on another exciting but the most unusual teaching that I have done in my 36 years of pastorship. I have done the translation from the Hebrew on the book of Esther. As a matter of fact, the pastor in town begged me to teach this in a seminary called Spurgeon Seminary, and I promised him in January we will start it. But I have never preached a series of sermons from the beginning to the end in this book of the Bible. What are we going to do is we're going to follow the leader. The leader is God, who has a way of keeping us wondering at time where we are going and why it seems sometimes very confusing. But this book will teach you and me how to behave under God in this journey called life. It's a very practical book for you if you are a believer in God through the Bible. So we're going to work hard because it's very difficult to compress a teaching in 35 minutes on every section, and especially the first one, which I plan to go through the entire book with you. But we're going to do it, and we're going to enjoy it. All right? First, the invisible working of God. I want you to have an idea of the invisible workings of God. In the book of Esther, we find God's power and presence at work through the lives of five people who carry out His will, whether they like it or not. Now, that's my God. These people here will carry on God's will whether they know it or whether they like it. But God's going to impose Himself. Let me mention the people and you look with me in the Bible. King Ahasuerus, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. You have to know that this is the known wall at that time. Over 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace. Shushan means the city of horses, and that's what I love Shushan about Damascus. Ahasuerus reigned from 485 to 465 B.C., their book was written 3 years after his reign. He was the Bush of his generation. All right? President Bush is the most powerful man in this universe, humanly speaking. He has the most powerful force, the most powerful army, the most powerful money. America is the most powerful country in the world. And so King Ahasuerus. So you get a picture of it. All right? That's one person. Second, a queen named Vashti. Look in chapter 1 and verse 9. Also, Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. chapter 1, verse 9. So we're going to see how God worked through the life of Vashti. Vashti was a strong-minded woman. Well, she was a woman. All right? Independent thinking. Careless who is behind her or in front of her. She will do what she wants to. That was Vashti. And we will see details of Vashti. Now, we also have in chapter 3 and in verse 1, a wicked officer, and his name was Haman. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Haman was a wealthy, influential officer. It's very difficult when you are influential and when your top boss trusts you. I've been 29 years in a radio where the top boss of the entire enterprise will call me and said, this and this happened. What do you think we should do? Very, very difficult when you are in that position. And Haman was a man like that. He occupied next to the highest position in the kingdom, what King Ahasuerus and then Haman, the counselor and the executor. There was also in chapter 2 and in verse 5 and 6, another person who God worked through, a godly Jew named Mordecai. Chapter 2, verse 5. And verse 6. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. You have to understand this, and the King James does a good job in putting this together. There is no word for grandfather in Hebrew. So that's why the Bible said the son of son, the son of son, or the son of son. Verse 6. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with a captivity which had been carried away with Jochaniah, a king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Now, a little piece of information from history. The Jew had been 70 years in captivity under the Assyrian Empire. King Darius said, go back to Jerusalem. Some of them, 80% of the Jewish people, went back to Jerusalem. 20% remain in Assyria. Assyria is conquered by Persia. Ahasuerus is the first king of Persia who takes over the empire of the Assyrians. And so these Jews who are in Persia are the Jews that were in Assyria. They're in the same place, but were under Assyrian domination, now are under Persian domination. These Jews did not follow the voice of God to return to Jerusalem. How merciful is God still. And so these are like a remnant there in Persia. And Mordecai is a godly person. And verse 7 tells you something. And he brought up Hadassah. That's the name of Esther. Esther means a star. It's a name in Persia, but not a name in Jew. And he brought Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. She was Miss Universe, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So he adopted her to say, I'm going to raise this girl, who was the uncle. And then one more person. The invisible working of God. This God worked invisible in the life of Ahasuerus, Vashti, Haman, Mordecai, and also in a woman of inner and outer beauty. Her name was Esther, and that's in verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. So God, invisible hand, even though you will not read once, God did this for Vashti, or God did this for Ahasuerus. As I go through the book now with you, and as I see the entire book together before we put the book in details, you will see the hand of God. You will see the hand of God in a little detail, insignificant to all of us, but powerful in the hand of God. And that's what happened in your life and in my life if you are aware that God is in control. All right? Now we're going to work really hard. And I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture, I want you to pay attention in that little detail and think in your mind, oh, that happened to me 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You will see it. The visible plot of a story. The visible hand of God. Let me show you a few examples as we look at a brief overview of the plot of a story. First, an amazing discovery. Let's look at something that sounds iniquitous and insignificant, but which becomes, in God's awesome plan, the link to survival to the entire nation of Israel there. What I'm going to read you now is the link that God used to preserve Israel and the world. Let's look on it. It is in chapter 2 and in verse 21. Chapter 2 and verse 21. A link to survival. In those days, now you got the empire, right? You, in America, it's very hard because you don't have a king and succession. But imagine, the king, the second man, third man, the entire empire, a guy at the door checking, a guy in the other door checking, a guy in the kitchen checking the food, a guy at his side checking the drink. You have like the FBI here, it's all over the place. And the president even cannot go to his room before the FBI goes and checks his bedroom, all right? So you get the picture, all of this. And now, look in verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat at the king's gate, that's in the entrance to the palace, he's guarding who's coming in, who's not coming in. Look at this. Two of the king's chamberlains, you know the word chamberlain is an English word from the English dictionary in England, which means an officer of the court, the chamberlain, an officer of the court, all right? From the king chamberlain, with Ethan and Teresh, of those which keep the door, see, one is outside the door, the other is inside the door, all right? Here's the door that goes to the king's office. One officer is on the outside, the other officer is inside. Down the steps is Mordecai. He has good ears because look at what happened. It said, of those which keep the door were rough and sought to lay hand of the king Ahasuerus. They sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. It's just another way of saying they were putting together an assassination plan for the king. That's it. Now, what a coincidence. Here is a believer in God sitting, guarding the steps. Here's two crooks officers, a few steps up, and they were talking aloud, I assume, because otherwise, how can Mordecai hear that? The plot became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the kings about Mordecai's name. Now, when the plot was investigated and found to be so, then Bigthan and Teresh were both hanged on the gallows. And it was written, pay attention to this, in the book of Chronicles in the king's presence. Let's read it, verse 22 to 23 in the same chapter. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the books of the Chronicles before the king. You got it? Verse 22 said, and the king was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. Nobody can talk to the king except the queen and the two officers who are there. And so the queen said, you know, this fellow over there, down there, Mordecai, he found this. They checked it out, and what saw? They hang up the other pearl. But the king said, what a casual thing. The king said, Will you write these in the book of Chronicles, please? And the name of Mordecai was in the book of Chronicles that he saved the king's life. Mordecai don't hear anything. Nobody say, hey, honor to you and glory. He was an officer, a little officer over there. And like nothing happened. Amazing. What's the big deal? What does this tidbit of history have to do with anything that to me is the key to the book of Esther? Who cares about big and trash? Nobody. Only the scribe writing down the chronicles of history. So for right now, let's put that little morsel of historical trivia in the back burner of your mind. Why? Because that seemingly insignificant fact is going to become the vital key to the plan of God. Things that happen in your life that you have no attention whatsoever becomes the key in God's glory. All right? Now you got something in the back of your RAM and your head. We move on. Number two, an amazing news. Next, let's take a glance at Haman. This guy hate Mordecai, not just because he is a Jew, but because Mordecai will no bow down to him. If you've been in the army or navy, when you see another officer, you watch for his degrees, all right? And if he's over you, you salute him first. If he is, then you show up like this, and then he salutes you. All right? And Mordecai cares less who is there. You know, Haman will come in, second in command, and say hi, like you will do it. All right? So he hates him. So Haman talks the king into a game plan. If you follow my rules, he said to the king. Listen to this carefully. I will pour money into your treasury. Now, money always talks, all right? All I ask is that you give me the right to rid the land of these Jewish people. We don't need more Jewish people here. And so King Ahasuerus, believing Haman and ignoring the brutal genocide he is plotting, passes it off with a wave of his hand. Go ahead with your plan. When Mordecai get the words of what Haman is planning, he makes a crucial but dangerous decision. He must tell his adopted daughter Esther. She must know about Haman's plan. Because, you see, by now Esther had become queen. But nobody knew that she was a Jew. You know that? When she was chosen as the king's consort, Mordecai had advised her not to tell anybody about her ethnic origin. Obediently, she didn't. Look at chapter 4, please, with me. Now, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 4 of Esther, verse 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jew from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time like this? Do you love the faith of this fellow? He said to the queen, now you better pass the word to the king that whatever this Haman want to do is killing all the Jew. By the way, if you don't do it, God will use somebody else. Is that faith? Is that faith? If you don't do it, God will get somebody else. But you will die. So you are on the spot. And who knows? God maybe raise you for this only a special moment to save the Jewish people. Certainly, we find no passive spirit in Esther. in response to Mordecai's request and admonition, look at what she said in verse 16. Look at how she responded to the challenge. Verse 16. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink their day, 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. See, a woman cannot interrupt the husband. And so if you interrupt the husband, he can execute you. And that's Persia. Whew. So she said, if he said dead, dead, but I go and talk to him. Now, number three, an amazing event. Things are getting heavy. Is your life getting heavy in troubles and difficulties? Now, it's going to get heavy here. It's going to get heavy. The plot thickens as the excitement builds. Esther plans a banquet for the king and Haman. Blinded by his own conceit, Haman thinks the queen wants to honor him. But when the king asks Esther what request she might have that he can grant, she said, I want both of you to come to another banquet tomorrow. Then I will tell you what I want for you. Haman was thrilled. The queen was going to honor him twice with a feast in the presence of the king Ahasuerus. She must really think, I am somebody. That's what he thought. On the way back home, he saw Mordecai, that Jew who would not give him homage and deference. Haman was infuriated. He cannot take it. Look in chapter 5 and in verse 3. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. And now, look at here what happened in verse 13. Haman was invited. Haman was move on. He think he's going to be honored. And look in verse 13 when he saw Mordecai. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting in the king's gate. When some people have hatred, they really have hatred. And that's Satan for you. He hates you. He hates me. That's Satan for you. He can have all the homosexuals in town doing a meeting. That's not enough. He wants you to sin. He wants me to fall. So there will be shame in the church of God. That's Satan is a picture of this unbelievable Haman. Look at verse 14. Then said Zeres, his wife, to Haman, and all his friends unto him, let a gallow, look at the plan they have, let a gallow be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Man, oh man, Mordecai is going to be executed. Everything is there. Everything go wrong and go in favor of Satan. Everything is really bad in the Christian life. Sometimes you have days like this and weeks like that, my friend. If you're a Christian, you do. It looks like everything is going to get to you. He fellow doesn't know that God is God. You will see it. There is, when I did the analysis in Greek for my master's degree on the book of Ephesians, I never teach you deep theology because it's confusing. But I tell you, there is a word that is beautiful in Greek. Gar Theo. Gar, G-A-R, means for. Bat means bad. Theo means God. And you find it in the book of Ephesians all over. Bad God. We have been born in sin. We are dead in sin. We are bad. Satan reigns in the universe, chapter 2. But then in verse 6 said, bad God. So this section now, Haman is going to really get his wishes done. But let me introduce the little sentence, bad God. Look what happened next. It is great. No, it is better than great. It is, like my good friend Jerry will say, it is awesome. If you've been with Jerry Malone, he will say two or three times, he see me dressed, he say, oh, it is awesome. It is awesome. He used those words. Unsearchable. Immortal. Look. Look. Out of all of these, there is going to be a banquet, and look at what happened. The king can't sleep. Look in chapter 6 and in verse 1. On that night, could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the books of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. Now, if you cannot sleep, don't you get up and get a book and start reading until you fall and go to sleep? That's what I do. That's what I keep 7-8 books beside my bed. Because if I'm asleep, I just get up. Whatever time it is, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I turn my light in the other room and I start reading until I fall asleep. Now he thought, well, I read the chronicles, and you know, the chronicles are routine things, you know. While Haman and his gangs are constructing gigantic big gallows, Ahasuerus struggles with insomnia. So he orders one of his servants, bring the chronicles, bring the record, read to me. How ironic. The same night Haman was building the gallows to hand Mordecai, the same night Ahasuerus was listening to the history of what had happened in the kingdom during maybe the last few years. Possibly hoping that monotonous reading will put him to sleep. Now look at verse 2. This is exciting. Chapter 6, verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And was found written. When the king heard that, his mind was jerked abruptly from his desired slumber. And he thought, I have overlooked Mordecai. And look at in verse 3 what he said. And the king said, what honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. What an amazing thing. Didn't you see it? That night, Mordecai is going to be wiped off. And the king discovered that he's alive because of Mordecai. He said, did we honor this guy? No, we did nothing about him. Wow. Now, Haman is so enamored of his own ego that he can see only himself. When you can see only yourself, you don't see the circumstances. See? He is so puffed up with a pride that he is about to explode. Surely the king could only be talking about me. He really think that he is going to be honored. Look at in verse 6, and chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. And Haman, let me start reading from verse 4. I don't want to miss anything even though I'll be out of time. And the king said, who is in the court? The king, I'm reading chapter 6, verse 4. Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Verse 5. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Now, he did not say Mordecai, neither say Haman. And Haman was so puffed up that he thought was about himself. Now, Haman thought in his heart, to whom will the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Look at verse 7. And Haman answered the king, said, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. He thought that he's going to get all of that. Amazing. Amazing. And look at what the king said. That's a good idea. Verse 10. And the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparels and the horse that thou hast said, and do even so to whom? I think Haman has a good heart. At that time, she should have a heart attack. To Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of what thou hast spoken. Do exactly what you said to this guy. Is God funny? Now, chapter 6, verse 13, please. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that hath befallen him. He went home and said, Mama, sit down. Let me tell you what happened. Then said his wife, even and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jew, if he is a real Jew, you are a dead man. Before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him. You say, Haman, I better look for another husband. You are a dead man. You are a dead man. There is nothing you can do. Chapter 7, verse 10. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. You say, I don't believe in God. Oh, you're a miserable person. You're a miserable person. What is the inescapable message? If I pause long enough to look back at my life, I realize it is the unsearchable mind, the awesome will, the sovereign control, the irresistible providence of God at work, because he, though invisible, remains invisible. If I look back 58 years in my life, when I told my cousin, I care less about God. I have no desire of God. Look into the church. Uncle is the pastor and he's 50, and I thought it was very old. And all the old ladies, my aunts, my mother, all the old ladies go to that church. This is an awful thing for me to go to church. But then my uncle retired. And a new American pastor, missionary, came in and asked the church this question. Who is the most rascal person that should be saved? And everybody raised their hand and said, Gabriel Otero. And so he came to the soccer game on December the 23rd. And when I saw a guy who hardly can speak Spanish, yielding and yielding, I said, who that guy is? And when I saw him in the locker room, I said, how this guy kept here? a private place. And when he prayed for me, all my grandmother's prayer were fulfilled. The invisible hand of God. You cannot overcome God. Amen. You cannot overcome God. So you maybe have a brother, a sister, a son, a wife, a husband, a cousin, a friend who's unsaved. If God had that person in mind, keep on praying, because God is going to get him. If that person belongs to the kingdom of God, will not die without God's intervention. If you are a Christian, can we look back and see the hands of God in our life? Can we look back and say, oh boy, now I understand why this happened to me. Oh God, I know why I have that girlfriend that was ugly, but now I understand why she was so good. You can look back and see the insignificant things. You see, Mordecai told his niece, he said, go and tell the king they're going to kill him. And the thing happened, and the king said, let's record this. And they record that. Remember? I said, that's the key. So the king doesn't know anything. Next day he's going to sign, Mordecai will be killed. Then all the Jews will be killed. You cannot kill God's people. Hitler cannot kill all the Jews. God's people cannot be killed because they belong to him. May God bless us. That we, as God's people, know that we are in the hands of a mighty God, greater than Bush, and greater than any president or king of this earth. And nobody can touch us. Nobody. So, don't waste your time. Tell people about the great God that we have. Don't get into politics. This week I got a discussion with two mayors. Don't get into that. I lost my time. Don't wait into things like that. Just get your Bible, smile, live the Christian life with joy, purity, sanity, dress like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian. Then finally people will say, you are a Christian. But if you do not dress like a Christian, then people think you are one of them. Is that right? So watch, girls, how you dress. Young people, watch how you dress. Always I'm in a suit or anything because I represent my God. I am an ambassador of my God. I remember all the time when I went to Fremont Hospital to see a friend of mine, all dressed up, and the lady said, who you want to see? I'm Ambassador Gabriel Otero. The lady called the psychiatry department. And my friend was coming. I tell you, I'm so happy. Not because I'm a happy person. Somebody told me, oh, you are Latins, you are happy. Oh, you love your wife, that's Latin style. Listen, cut it off. We belong to God. And we must live like God's people. Because God is with us. Remember Romans 8:28? If God is for us, he will be against us. Romans 8:32, I give you the wrong reference. May God bless us that we get out of here today with a conviction that nothing is impossible for us because God is with us. I have to deal in my heart heavy with my granddaughter now going way away to college, to Boston. I saw her. I will see her on the, again on the 21st or 22 or 23 or 24 before she take off. This is the first granddaughter. This is the granddaughter was dying. My daughter was dying when she was born. And I pray. At my home, I knelt down downstairs in a big sofa and I pray. 5 hours later, my son-in-law said, Miriam is okay. Your granddaughter is okay. It's very few pounds on, but it's okay. And she became a very godly lady. by the mercy of God. And now I have to trust God again. I have to trust God again. I cannot put my arms. I cannot share my money. I just got to trust God again. And if God did it once, He's going to do it again. So let's trust God with all our heart and might so that God can be honored in this country of ours. Thank you, Father, for the message of the invisible hand of God. Although invisible, You control everything. God, thank You. We do not deserve anything, but You call that grace. You gave us what we do not deserve. Thank You, Father. Lord, cause us to be holy as You are holy, and the world will know who You are. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. When dangers fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you for being present in our life when we don't know You are there. Thank you for taking care of the little details. Thank you for protecting us from the evil one. Oh God, we need protection from the evil one who wants to destroy us. But if we are sensitive to Your Spirit, in our mind, in our heart, and in our body, we will be protected by Your power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.